when it comes to Christianity, when I speak to Christians, I ask them, what is their faith, Christianity? And I ask them, what does that mean to be Christ-like? And I said, okay, what was the faith of Jesus? Simple as that. What was the faith of Jesus? If you're a Christian, what was he? You can't say he was a Christian because that means to be Christ-like. So what was his faith? As a Muslim, I prefer to follow the faith of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, which was to submit myself to the will of God.
We have one God, his name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to
you. And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Well, in reality, nobody gave me da'wah. That's why I do what I do today. I had to, for fear of my life, if anybody knows my story about how the Bible led me to Islam, I actually went into the mosque for the first time, like, with fear of my life. I had no idea what went on in this building. And my first impression was that these Muslims are probably going to sacrifice me after Juma. That was what I would... Because the imam was screaming in Arabic and pounding on the thing, and he was pointing in my direction. But after he translated into English, I was so intrigued that I asked for proof of the religion. Because, you know, every religion says it has the truth, right? But my grandfather taught me the truth comes with proof. So if somebody says they're telling you the truth, ask for proof. So I asked him for proof and he gave me a copy of the Quran. And I took it home and I read it from cover to cover that weekend. And the following Monday, I took my shahada. So the reason why I got involved in da'wah when I heard about it, when I realized that there was a thing called da'wah in Islam, and this was, you know, introduced to me by an OG in the da'wah way, way back in the early 2000s, I decided that I was going to be involved in this because I didn't want anyone else to be in the position I was in, lost, looking for the truth, and not having readily available access to it. Because in Greenville, South Carolina, there was nobody doing da'wah. If you didn't go to the masjid and ask about it, you didn't know about it. There was nothing to search online. There was, you know, this was way before any of that. I don't even think there was cell phone, like the first cell phones that were like big bricks back in 1997, 1998. So I actually had to get on my 2 feet and walk to the masjid and find out about Islam. So I made it my dedication that no one else would have to do that again. And that's when I first started my online da'wah, was on MySpace. That's what we were talking about. Yes. And that's how you found me. I don't even think most of these people in the room are too young to even remember MySpace. But that's how it all began way back when, 16, 17 years ago.
And that's that reminds me of the hadith where the Prophet saw some paraphrasing. He's talking, this is a prophecy that this deen is going to spread with or without us.
Yeah.
And it's being fulfilled. And we got people like you. I mean, I've had so many different pastors and former Christian people of other faiths, no faith, you know, but they get to a point where they're searching, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? And then they get out there, and that's the power of Islam. You know, it goes with the fitrah, you know, when people look into it, the pure monotheism and all the other tenets of Islam, the moral code, it all makes sense. And now all we have to do is go ahead and share. We don't even have to go ahead and try to twist someone's arm, you know, coerce, trick nobody. No, share the message.
That's it. That is one of the biggest caveats of da'wah that I think is most misunderstood, is that people becoming Muslim is not our job. That's not our job. Nor is it our responsibility. Our job is to deliver the message. Whether a person accepts that message or not is up to Allah. That He is Al-Hadi. He is the one who guides the heart to Islam. Our job is to deliver the package. That's it. And that's something that is simple to do. Simple to do. People come and ask me, how do I give da'wah? I said, tell somebody else about Islam. What do I tell them? Whatever you know. That's it. If all you know about Islam is that there is only one God, that's it. That's what the Prophet ﷺ did. قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُونَ. If you say there's no deity but Allah, you'll be successful. I said, if you do something as simple as that, you are fulfilling your obligation. But we have to introduce the people to the real version of Islam. Because the media has done their job very well, in fact, of putting out a very twisted form of Islam to keep people away from the truth. Our job is just to simply to pull back that curtain, because it's very easy to do so, because it's very ignorant. Pull back the curtain and say, look, this is the reality of Islam. If you accept it, that's beneficial for you. And if you don't, it harms no one else but you. That's the fact that we have to understand as Muslims, is that Allah doesn't need any of us. Our guidance is His decision, and if we worship Him, it's to our own benefit. If we don't, it's our own detriment.
Absolutely. It reminds me of another statement, authentic statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, those who love my sunnah love me. Those who love me and my sunnah will be with me in Jannah. You know, people think of, you know, there's so many different aspects of the sunnah, and then a lot of people, you know, how great of a mission was this, that this was his way of calling people to la ilaha illallah, to the true purpose of life, to the pure monotheism.
Yeah. Well, Allah, we talk about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, and it is in, you know, to follow his sunnah is obligatory, it's mandatory. Allah told us in the Quran, "Atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul," obey Allah and obey His Messenger. But the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just restricted to, you know, using siwak, eating with your right hand. Think the greatest sunnah Allah told him in the Quran, "Qul hadhihi sabili," say this is my way. Adu ala Allah ala basira, I call to Allah with sure knowledge. This was his sunnah, his greatest legacy. The greatest legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is us. We are his legacy. We are the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he did such amazing work, and then the companions who came after him did such amazing work, that a young man like me in a small town in South Carolina would hear about Islam in 1998. That just to think of how much had to happen for that to take place in precursor of the internet. You know, back then it was Windows 95, yeah. And the internet was like, what are you searching on there? Mm-hmm. But that is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We are the legacy of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And we have to realize that in order for that legacy to continue, we have to do our job to continue to strengthen the chain going forward.
Are we talking about we or we?
All of us. All everybody. Of us. Everybody,
Takbir.
Every single Muslim.
Takbir! We're the legacy.
We're the legacy. Yes. Like if people ask me, how do you know your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam existed and was real and was truth? And I said, but you're looking at it. You are looking at it. The fact that I am a Muslim in all of the circumstances of my life is proof of whom our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was and is to the world. This is why we say Muhammad Rasulullah, he is the messenger of Allah. Because as long as we continue to do our job, he continues. This is one of the greatest. We always ask, you know, we in every salah, we ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Prophet, bless the family of the Prophet, like He blessed the family of Ibrahim, etc. One of the greatest honors that you can give to the beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is to continue to convey this message. Because every person you convey this message to, not only do you get reward for that, but he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the originator of this message for us in the present age, gets a reward for that. So this is a way of honoring the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, honoring his life, and also continuing to elevate his rank in the next.
We were talking about earlier today, and you had me thinking, look, how simple and easy this is, conversation starters, getting people to think. And you said something, it was real nice. You said that when you were talking now to people, you were saying you follow the faith of Jesus, but what was his faith? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, the top 10 reasons was these were in my younger years when, you know, we were a little bit hardcore when we were young. We want to just, you know, we want to draw a straight line in the sand. Now, as you get older, you start, you know, realizing a little bit more of how to get into the psychology of people. When it comes to Christianity, when I speak to Christians, I ask them, what is their faith, Christianity? And I asked them, what does that mean to be Christ-like? And I said, okay, what was the faith of Jesus? Simple as that. What was the faith of Jesus? If you're a Christian, what was he? You can't say he was a Christian because that means to be Christ-like. So what was his faith? As a Muslim, I prefer to follow the faith of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, which was to submit myself to the will of God. So that gets the kind of the ball rolling. That you say you're a Christian, you follow Christ, well, what was his faith? And they really, and that becomes like, they're like, oh, wait a minute, hold on a second. Because you worship Jesus, what was his faith? Did he worship himself? Like, what was his faith? So if you want to be Christ-like, you need to go figure out what his faith was, what he practiced, what he worshipped, whom he worshipped, and you follow that. That's what it means to be Christ-like. Because what you're doing in reality as a Christian is following what Paul taught that Jesus, peace be upon him, was. That's how the whole Christian theology came about. Mm-hmm. But I would rather follow the faith of Jesus Christ himself. And that's what we as Muslims do.
What's kept you having this longevity all these years now, from when we met up until now, continue to share, you know, the purpose of life, continuing the da'wah, and we're still here today, alhamdulillah.
Two things. One of them is a little bit, what is the word I'm looking for? One of them is a little bit selfish. And that's permissible. And the other one is for the care of concern of other people. The selfish reason is I want to go to paradise. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the most surefire ways to earn yourself good deeds very quickly is da'wah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam authentically narrated that anyone who calls someone else to guidance will receive the reward of the guided one without the reward of the guided one being lost. That means if you help someone come to Islam, not only do they get rewarded for every good deed they do, you get rewarded for every good deed they do. You could be asleep in your bed at night and this person is praying and Allah is counting on your scale as you prayed. When they give charity, Allah counts it as you gave charity. When they fast, Allah counts it as you fast. So it's a surefire way to help me go to paradise, inshallah ta'ala. Because like you said about the top 10, we recorded that like what, 16 years ago. I might be dead in my grave and Someone might watch that video and come to Islam and it'll give me good credit. So that's number one. And the second reason is because one of the characteristics of the Prophet ﷺ was care and concern. That he actually cared and concerned about other human beings and their souls and where it would be in the next life. Mm-hmm. So I actually do care about other people. And I want to see other people have a good life and have a good position. Because one of the key characteristics of a Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said that you wish for your brother what you wish for yourself. And that means not just your Muslim brother, but your brother or sister in humanity. You wish for other people what you wish for yourself. And I don't want nothing more for me than to go to paradise. So I would like that for other people as well.
Sometimes because we don't get out of our box, or sometimes because we don't interact with our neighbors, colleagues, and we don't open up these conversations, and we let others talk for us. You know, the Bill O'Reillys, who's no longer there anymore, but the others, and Sean Hannity, and the other Fox News, and they've kind of, you know, toned it down a little bit, but at any time, you know, a lot of times the media is out there, you know, just like they had recently at the World Cup, you know, the Muslims are throwing up the pure monotheism, La ilaha illallah, and they're trying to ostracize them and make them, you know, connect the Moroccan players like they're some kind of, with some extreme element, you know what I mean, as the Muslims are rising. But then we explain that today in the show that we filmed. This is the pure monotheism. This is the way of Jesus and Moses and Abraham. And then, you know, the belief that Jesus' mother is one of the most blessed women. There's a chapter named after her in the Quran. So These points, they're so, you know, simple, basic things of Islam. We went to the streets not too long ago and we were asking the average American, you know, 300 million Americans, we didn't get to all of them, but we got to a, you know, a small group and we're asking people, do you know anything about Islam? And the majority are like, no.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We went to the streets to ask Americans about Islam. Here's what they said. Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
You know what Islam means?
Islam? No.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you're going to have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Deen Center, the first mega dawah center in America. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
And what they did know, it was something just way out there, right?
Yep.
So how is it now that you, in your experience now, you know, have you seen over the years, you know, some of these basic things that, you know, some of the basic tenets of our faith, the love of Jesus, the love of his mother, the pure monotheism, you know, if we just get out there and share these things, how much of a great impact that would make?
Yeah, that's the thing is that we have to realize a lot of times we become very lazy because we feel like the world has such access to information, like, oh, you know, people should be able to find about it in Islam very simply. But what we have come to learn is that with the greater amount of access to information, the more dumb people are becoming. That's a very weird phenomenon that we're seeing. You know, that the more readily available information is, people are actually becoming more stupid. And that's just, it's just a causation that is very weird. So we should not assume that just because anyone could really do, if anyone went and searched the internet properly, they would find out about Islam, that they have done so. No, that means that we need to be doing even more to get out there and let people know what Islam and Muslims are really about. Because we are going to be questioned. We have to understand that. That on the Day of Judgment, it's all about accountability. That is the whole reason for the Day of Judgment to exist is for accountability. Accountability. And one of the things that we will be accountable for, besides our own personal deeds, is especially for Muslims living in the West or Muslim minorities, we will be accountable for the people around us. Because those people will now, let's say we have a neighbor or coworker that knew us for 10, 15 years, and we never told them about Islam. Do you think that person is not going to try to use us as a bargaining chip? That, my Lord, there was this Muslim, he knew, he lived next to me for 15 years. And it might not free him, but it might bind us. You know what I mean? It might actually become a proof against us on the Day of Judgment that you lived next to this person, you knew what was going to happen to them, and you did nothing. So we have to hold ourselves accountable. Not only that, but it's a command from Allah, "Udu'u ila sabil rabbika bil hikmah." We must call into the way of Islam. I remember, so we don't get too dragged on, but I'll tell you something that really changed kind of my outlook on da'wah. Because there was a point in, I would say, the late 2000s that I was ready to quit. Not quit because I didn't want to give da'wah, but I wanted to move to Medina and just study. Because I felt like I needed to know a lot more about the religion. Because the more you get to know about Islam, the more you realize you don't know about Islam. So I actually went to Medina and spent my summers there through the mid-2000s. And I went to the house of Sheikh Abdullah Shanqiti one evening. And I was actually invited, without knowing, to the meeting of all the scholars of Mauritania at the time. They had the meeting at Sheikh Abdullah's house. And I walked in, and these were some scholars that I had no business sitting in the same room with. And I was wondering, why did he invite me here? You know why he invited me there? He invited me there to tell them my story about how I came to Islam. And I tried to refuse. I was like, are you kidding me? I do not even have the right to open my mouth in this room. There was some great scholars there. Sheikh Mukhtar Shanqiti was there. I mean, I was like, I don't need to do this. You know how he convinced me? He said, these scholars are like engineers who've never built a building. They're like heart surgeons who've never seen a patient. Because they live in this super religious bubble. Wherein they love da'wah so much because they know it's the core of the deen. They know it's one of the greatest sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. But they very rarely come into contact with non-Muslims, so they don't get to do it. So when they see people who have become Muslim or people who are involved in doing da'wah, it becomes something of a love for them that they love to see. And that changed my output dramatically.
SubhanAllah. And that's where the Deen Center comes in.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Yasir Birjas. I've known Brother Eddie and the Deen Show for many, many years. And as a matter of fact, I was one of the original people who showed up on his show, alhamdulillah. And he's been doing a great job, alhamdulillah, in spreading the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his show, through his activities and da'wah. Right now they're working, alhamdulillah, on a great project, the Deen Center, which is now taking this da'wah from such a small show to become, inshallah ta'ala, a mega program, bidnillahi azza wa jal, we will propagate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a larger audience. And they need your support. And I give them my support, inshallah ta'ala, for the Deen Center. Hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you can look into it and put some running charity and work for yourself, inshallah, in this project that brings you continuous charity for the rest of your life until the Day of Judgment. Support the Deen Center. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Try to reach out, inshallah, to these 300 million Americans, not just here, all over the world, who know nothing about Islam. What was your impression? You had a chance now to visit the property, and you know about the projects. What are your impressions?
I went to see it. Yeah, mashallah. What I saw was amazing potential. Amazing potential. To be able to establish something that can be a hub of da'wah, because that's something that we don't do. Is we're organized about everything else as Muslims. Our religion is supposed to be organized. We're organized in the way we pray. We're organized in the way we give charity. We're organized in Hajj. Well, I take that with a grain of salt for anybody who's been to Hajj, how organized it is or not. But one of the things we are so disorganized in is da'wah. We're so disorganized in the way that we do it. And it needs to be done in a very systematic way in order to produce results. You know, it's just like a business. If you're a martial arts business, if you just decided to wing it every single day, how successful would it be? Would not be very successful. There's a systematic way to establish a successful business. The same in da'wah, we need to be doing it in a very systematic way. And I've been preaching this for as long as I've been giving da'wah, which is going on 20 years now. And this is an opportunity to do so, along with people like yourself who have a track record. You know, like we've been at this for a long time. We've gone gray in this thing. So I think that the potential is there, and the organization is there, the experience is there. But what is missing? What's always missing? The support, the funding. That is the. I will tell you, Eddie, and you know this as well as I do, and you've probably learned it the very hard way now. Finding support for da'wah is the hardest thing to do, because people will support everything, but they think that da'wah should be, you know, something that should, you know, be free to do. But to do it properly, systematically, in a way that's going to produce results, needs funding. And that's the problem.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For being with us again. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Jazakallah khair. Takbir!
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir! أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله Take Sammy aside, give him a tour of the D Center.
So we transforming this from people worshiping the creation to worshiping the Creator.
Allah bless your efforts, Eddie. How you doing, brother?
All right, so as you can see, we're getting to work and we need your support. So go ahead and help us to get this where it's top notch, inshallah.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.